in itself. No, it doesn't. It's not. See, we were born believing. But when the Bible says that every man doesn't have faith, it means that every man doesn't have faith in God. Amen? They don't exercise the faith that they have in them towards God, but they exercise it somewhere else. Amen? So let us remember, that's what Paul was saying, that every man is not going to be for God. Amen? A lot of them is going to go the other way. They're not going to hold on unto what was given unto them. And we have something great. Amen? We have the living God inside of us. Amen? And let us hold on unto Him, all His promises. Because without Him, we are, help me out, we are nothing. For He is the life of man. The very breath that we breathe is Him. Amen? John 1. So without Him in us, we are nothing. Amen? Amen? We don't even have the breath. For the Genesis say, He breathed into man's nostril the bread of life. And man became a living soul in the Garden of Eden. So, based on those two couple of scriptures there, we see without Him, we are nothing. And when we always think about something, we thought we are always think about rich, important, amen, highly esteemed, if that's the right word. But we forget to look at the very basic foundation of our existence. To know that if we don't exist, we are extinct. And anything that is extinct is what? It's nothing. It's not there anymore. We can only be something if we are alive in the present. Amen? But in God, the time will come that when we all shall live because of His Son, and we shall reign with Him, and we shall be something. You see what He said there? He said that He shall present you as king and priest unto the Father. So there we are, will be highly exalted. We shall be a what? A king. You shall be a high priest. You shall have dominion. Who knows? Because kings are rulers. Amen? They have dominions. Amen? So there is where we're going to be something. Amen? So it's all in Him. But that's not the lesson. That's not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about something very simple. And it is found in Deuteronomy. I think it's the sixth chapter. If I have it right. Deuteronomy. I said Deuteronomy. Some of you said Deuteronomy. I think it's the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter about... Come on, where it is? About the fourth verse or the sixth verse? And shall we all stand? Deuteronomy 6:4. And by now, I would say that all of us who have been attending the church for a long period of time should know this verse without even looking into the book. Amen? And if you don't know it, let us read together. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And the next verse said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy might. You may be seated. Amen. For a little while now, the Lord has been dealing with me to tell you that we are not loving Him as we should. It's a hard thing. I dwell on this for many months, whether I should say it or I shouldn't say it, or I should bring it to your attention or don't bring it to your attention. But it's always on my heart. And then I said, not too long ago, I said, Lord, if I have an opportunity, last week I said, Lord, if I have an opportunity, I will speak. And then Thursday night, Pastor said, if there's anything on your heart, so I asked the Lord to create the opportunity. Amen. And Thursday night, when Pastor came to pick me up and I entered the car, he said, if you have anything you want to preach on, would you do it on Sunday? And then I said, why don't I leave it for next Sunday so that you can attend to your little lamb that he loves to cook downstairs, and I can do the preaching, and that way you would have time to do what, you know, to do what you want to do. And then we came to church and we had a great service. All those who were here said Thursday night say we had a great service. Not many of you, but we had a great service. And I felt strong in my heart again that I should do this thing this Sunday. And then I told Pastor, I said, I'm going to do it. I don't want to be like Pharaoh. When Moses asked Pharaoh, when should I talk to the Lord to ask the Lord to take the plague away? What did Pharaoh say? He said, tomorrow. Talk to the Lord tomorrow. Forget the plague for today. Amen? And he said, tomorrow. But I was saying next Sunday. Amen? And then I told Pastor that I will do it. After Thursday night service, I said, I'm not going to be like Pharaoh. I'm going to do it. I don't know if I'm going to do justice unto it, but I hope that the Lord will speak to you today in whatever form He can lay on your heart, that you could remember that He loves you and you are His first love. And you should be, and He should be your first love. Amen? The Bible said He loves us first. Amen? The Bible said He didn't call us, we didn't call on Him, but He called us. Amen? He called on us because of His love. Greater love than this has no man, that He laid down His life for His friends. You see, previous to the Calvary, we could not be sons and daughters of God. God had to honor His word that He gave to Abraham, and He called Abraham friend. Amen? And upon Calvary, before Calvary, we were friends of God. But after Calvary, we became sons and daughters of God. For Paul has said we are heir with Christ, joint heir. Amen? And if we are in Christ and we are joint heir, where is Christ's treasure is laid? It is laid in heaven. All that the Father have, He gave unto Him. Christ said in Luke, the 24th chapter, a little lower down from where Brother Rod read, He said, all power on earth and in heaven is given unto me. Amen. All that God had, He gave it unto Him. But God had the power. Amen? God does not have you, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor you, nor I. Amen? He doesn't have us. Why? Because we all have sinned and fall short of His glory. Amen? Because of the sin in our life, we separated from God. As you all know the story, that Adam, forget Adam blaming Eve, he has to take the blame. For the word of God said, the man is what? The head of the house, as Christ is the head of the church. Amen? So when the church falters, who gets the blame? When you as a Christian do something wrong, what do they say? They say, are you a follower of Christ? Does the people say that that's not the way that Christ lived? See, it's all reflected back to Him. Today we have the problem with the bridge, the scandal of the bridge. Who is taking the blame? The man in charge, right? Who is in charge of the church? When the church falter, the Bible said, give the ministry no blame. Anyone you read that? It's there in the book. I just didn't pull it out, the verse and the chapter. But it's there in the book. The Bible said, give the ministry no blame. So Christ doesn't have to take any blame. Amen? But we all know that how much the Lord loves us. Amen? We all know that, right? But what it is that we don't know, or what it is that I don't know, is how much Brother Mike loved the Lord. But I would know how much I love the Lord, right? We see each other here once a week, twice a week. Maybe we talk on the phone, we internet, we see somewhere else. But we don't know, I don't know how much you love the Lord, Brother Anthony. You don't know how much I love the Lord. But when I have an opportunity to express my feelings in the presence of the Lord, and you can judge, and don't tell me you don't judge, because the Bible said you can judge. And you see, okay, let me rephrase that. And you see the way that I worship and praise the Lord, what would you say? That He loves the Lord. Amen? Because the way that I worship, the way that I pray, the way that I cried out, the way that I run to the altar, I kneel down. Amen? You may say that He loved the Lord, right? But that's the only way you can have an idea that how much I love the Lord by my worship. It's the same way that others can reflect unto you how much you love the Lord by your worship. Amen? But there is a little more deeper things in loving the Lord. Faith without work is saying that I love the Lord and doing nothing is. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only what? Begotten Son. If He loved us and He didn't send His Son to die for us, we were? Say it again. You said it two times. Say it. We were dead. Amen? But He, the great Creator, maker of all, had to do some works for Himself to prove to us that He loved us. Amen? To make a way for us to come back to Him. Why? Why did He choose to go to Calvary? He chose Calvary because it was the only way. Amen? He had already given Israel one way. Amen? The way of the law. The way of sacrifice. Amen? And Israel faltered on his ways. He poured out his hands, his love, sorry, and he reached out many a times to them. And yet they never reached back out unto him to draw themselves away from him. And in all this, he remembered us. And he said that we all are just flesh. And in all the pain and agony that we caused him, when the time was right, he sent forth his only begotten Son to walk a road that none of us want to walk, to bear the sin and shame that none of us even want to bear. Sometimes someone calls you a Christian, and it depends on the mood you're in. Amen? And someone say, "Hey, Christian!" Well, you're offended. No amen on that, right? Just being associated with him. Don't tell me you are better than the apostles. The apostles was offended when they say that you are with him. You are one of them. And one of the maids say, what did one of the maids say? He said, "Yes, you are, because your speech has given you away. The way that you talk just like him. You was with him. You are with him." But what happened? Life, the joy of living in this life, came upon that apostle, and what he did? He denied his first love. So don't tell me that we are better than them. By far, we are worse than them. Amen? Even though he denied Christ, what did he do? He left all that he had. He gave up everything to follow him. Amen? I'm not going to keep you too long today. But what I'm saying, I wanted to really see if it could find root in your heart to know that he is all that we want and all that we need. And the only way to him is to worship him, is to love him. And you can only love him, one, by worship. You say you should love him with all your heart. Does he really have all your heart? You know, you have all of God in Christ Jesus. You know, in Christ Jesus, God held back nothing from you. Amen? Brother Soon, you know, in the Old Testament, and you say it many a times, Brother Soon, that he shall open the windows of heaven. But you know, there is only one place in the Bible, and it's in the New Testament, and it's because of Christ Jesus that one man saw the whole heavens open. Anybody know that? See, God is not looking through the window anymore. Even though he can bless you through the window, he will honor his word. Amen? But Stephen, in the book of Acts, when Stephen was stoned, if I could find it quickly. When Stephen was stoned, amen? I think it's about the 12th chapter of Acts. Chapter 7. I had it. What did Stephen see? Anyway, what did Stephen saw before he died? He saw the heavens open. Amen? Have you ever read anywhere in the Old Testament where God lead his people that any one of them saw the heaven open? No, the Bible talk in the Old Testament that God opened the windows. They never see the windows open, but they knew that God will open the windows of heaven and bless them. And he opened the windows of heaven, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But today, because of his love in Christ Jesus, Stephen saw the whole heaven open. And he looked into the heavens. And everything that heaven had, it was only one thing that mattered. Who was sitting on the throne? Yes, Sister Soon, you want to say something or you're giving him praise? All that matters in heaven, the riches of heaven, and all the gold, and all the crown that you're going to wear when you get there. There was only one thing that matters in heaven. And it is he that sitteth on the throne. And what his name is. And all this is because Stephen can see, or Stephen see this, all because of his love. That he hide nothing from us. The secrets of God that was hidden from the foundation of the earth is revealed today in Christ Jesus. He hide nothing from his people. All that we need and all that we want and all that we would ever need and all that we would ever want is in Jesus. Could you give him a praise? But yet he's saying unto us today to return unto our first love. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And Israel could not believe that Christ was, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself, as Paul have said, or believe that the God was in Jesus, manifesting himself as man, to bring unto the people the gift of salvation. They couldn't believe that. The religious leader didn't believe it. But yet it was true. We know it because we read it. We believe it. We felt it. We know his presence in our life. We know the joy when he answers our prayer. He knows our pain and suffering. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You heard in the Bible lessons today, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything that you want shall be what? Shall be given unto you. Nothing. But what are we doing? Are we loving him? Are we loving him? We love him on Sunday morning. Most Christians love the Lord on Sunday morning. Amen? Some Christians remember the Lord on Easter weekend. Is that love? If the Lord would love us at once a week, what would happen? If the Lord loved us once a year, what would happen? If the Lord loved us as we love him, what would happen to us? A lot of times we say, and you hear people say, oh, the Lord doesn't care of me and he doesn't love me. Amen? But I want to read one scripture to you to show you something. You see, God is love, right? God is love, right? The Bible said so, right? And what the Bible said also, he cannot deny himself. Amen? He's the Father and the provider of all. Amen? Yet he said in the book of Genesis, he said, Esau, he said, Jacob I love, and Esau I, good. You know it, right? You know the scripture, right? But let's see what he say in the same book about the man that whom he said that he didn't care too much about. somewhere in Deuteronomy, about the third chapter, if I have it right. No, the second chapter. Let me see if I get it right. Bear with me a moment here. Yes, it's the second chapter, and we could start from the fourth verse. Amen? Pastor, you have it up there? Deuteronomy, the second chapter, the fourth verse? 2:4. And it started out, and he said that he commanded the people. And he commanded out the people, saying that ye are to pass through the course of your brethren, the children of. Didn't that, this is the same guy the Lord said that he didn't want to have anything to do with? Go on, read it again. Which dwell in Sir, and they shall be afraid of you. Why? Why? Remember, Esau was the enemy of the brother of Jacob, who became the enemy of Jacob, right? So he was the enemy of Israel. They had a big misunderstanding. They tried to mend it back when Jacob came back to the land. But they tried to mend it, but it was never mend. Amen? And they had a big misunderstanding. And the Bible said that they shall be afraid of the Israelite because God is with them. Amen? The Israelite. And he take good heed. Right. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you their... I will not give you their what? Their land. You can stop right there. Well, so what happened there? God, even though he said he didn't want to have anything to do with Esau, he still gave him a portion. Read again. Because I have given the mount, and he named it, to Esau for a what? A possession, inheritance. But yet he said he didn't want to have anything to do with Esau. But yet, because of his love, compassion, you name it, he still looked down on him and he blessed him. Whether Esau wanted to acknowledge it or not, the Lord bless him still. Amen? Is this a mighty God or what? If this God say he didn't want to have nothing to do with him, but yet, you know, somehow or the other, the Lord gave him. Think about you, and you, and you, and you, and I, who today we are called the sons and daughters of God. How much more love and compassion he have in his heart towards us. And what are we doing about it? When we have an opportunity, we don't share it. We don't share his love nor his compassion. Amen? We don't even love him. One to one. We want close relationship with God, but yet we find more time doing the things that we love to please ourselves than to do the things to please God. I'm not crucifying you. I include it. Because I am flesh. We all are. But we have to bring the flesh into what? Subjection. In order to love God, for the flesh war against the things of the Spirit. Amen? So they are Jacob and Esau. Two brothers. One spiritual, one flesh. They war against each other. But yet the Lord provide, and yet he would provide for the flesh. For when the flesh is weak, in sickness and pain, you think the Spirit is hurting? No, the flesh is hurting. Right? And what does he do? He provided for the flesh, for he said, by his stripes we are. You think you can hurt the Spirit? We can't. We can only hurt this flesh. For the Lord said, fear him who can kill both body and So he made provision for the flesh to be healed. He became our provider. He provided for this flesh of ours because the flesh is important to the spirit. But the spirit is not important to the flesh. See, what we do here in the flesh is what we're going to gain in the spirit. When we bring the flesh into subjection, as we are doing now, in the time of fasting and praying, the spirit, does the flesh grow stronger to God or the spirit? It's the spirit that grew. Amen? It's the spirit that make intercession. But God's spirit. So the spirit grows. How are we going to love him? I'm going to kind of like wrapping up now. I could go on and on and on. You know that, right? How are we going to love him? Matthew 25, I don't have the right verse, but you know, he said, enter in thou good and faithful servant, for when I was in prison, thou what? Thou visitest me. Was Christ ever in prison? But why he saying, thou visitest me? He said, when I was sick, when I was naked, you clothed me, you gave unto me. When? He answered it. He said, when you do it to the least of the brethren. When was the last time we show forth that love to God? He told Peter, he said, Peter, dost thou really love me, Peter? And he asked him the same question how many times? And on the third time, what happened to Peter? He was overwhelmed. He started to cry. He was broken down. Something grab a hold of him to tell him that, yes, I ought to love this gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That I got to cling to it. There is something about it that I have. There is something about it that all that I need is in there. And not only I, but others should know about it too. And what did he tell Peter? Feed my. But before Peter, and before he gave Peter the answer, Peter said, yes, Lord, thou knowest what? All things. See, he was waiting for Peter to reply to him before he tell Peter what he want of him. Amen? When was the last time we talked to God? We hold on to all that we have and we cling to it. The Bible call it rust. Clinging to your treasures. That's how we cling to what we have. Amen? As though we are going to take part of it with us. We are not. All the deeds that we do in this flesh, the Spirit is going to benefit from it. Heap up treasures where? In heaven. That's how you're going to prove that you love God. We have work to do. To be in his love, to be in his will, to be in his way, we have work to do. Our heart love to say, yes, this is for me. But our heart does not rejoice to take what we have and give it to others. But yet the Lord said, give without your heart being what? Sorrowful. Give joyfully. Because the heart knows the pain that you went through to receive what you have. And it's overwhelmed with joy when you have lots of things. But yet the Bible said, when you give it willingly. Let not the heart be sorrowful. Amen? You see, it's the same thing happened to Cain. When Cain gave unto the Lord, he didn't give his what? His best. Amen? And what the Lord told Cain, he said, if you had done right in your what? In your what? In your offering? No. In your heart. Would I have not I accepted? In the time of Cain and Abel, there was no law of sacrifice. There was none. I heard some preachers say that Cain was supposed to offer a lamb. There was no law. The Bible plainly said that Cain, if you had done well, that's what it said, would have not in your heart, from your heart. Today we have opportunity. Paul said if we have opportunity to give. You know, today when Brother Soon took the altar, the offering today, it's like he was doing my speech. When the songs were singing, it was like I didn't have nothing else to say. I feel as though they were talking of what I have to talk. They were singing about the things that I have to say. And I thank God that he was in one accord. You know, in one accord mean together. You know what it means? Not a Honda, but together, right? You know when they killed Stephen, the people were in one accord and they ran unto him. They all agreed that he should die. You see what happened when you get together with one accord? Why we can't get together like that and give God his what is due to him? We have, Paul said, when we have opportunity, let us do good. Amen? Each Sunday that we gather together, we have an opportunity to give God praise and thanks. Paul said he would love to see men lifting up holy hands all over the place, right? And worshiping God. I would love to see the day that when we make our altar call, that we, the people of God here, would come to this altar and kneel down without even anyone asking for, giving God that reverence that is due unto his name, and lifting up our hands and blessing him, showing forth the love that we have for him. He went on the cross and he cried out, Father, Father, Father. He cried out. We come to the altar where he is the sacrifice. He is the gift that we have on that altar. He is the reason we have the opportunity. He was our sacrifice. And yet we come here and we doesn't want to accept the sacrifice. We want to bring our own. When we should be flat on our knees or our face, crying out unto him. If we don't have anything to ask for, just to give him thanks, to show forth our love in our heart towards him. To know that he is God in our life, and not a small God, a big God, above all. But yet in fear, we stand one in a corner. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. That nobody hear our voice, and yet right through the Bible it says, cry out unto the Lord, lift up your voice, make a joyful sound. But yet there's some of us doesn't even want to, our voice to be heard. Why? Are we ashamed? Are we ashamed? We love our children. We work night and day to make ends meet. God love us more. We love our children that we want to see them have the best. God give us all. When our children come to us and call us papi, daddy, it put a joy in your heart as a father. No amen on that? You fathers, you parents, no amen on that. It put a joy in your heart. Amen? Because your children giving you what? Reverence. They acknowledging you. Amen? Even though you know behind that they're going to ask you for something that you will have to give them, it's going to cost you something. But yet because the love you have in your heart, what do you say? 99% of the time you say yes. Even though you don't have the means of providing it, you still say yes. You try and find a second job just to please because of the love in your heart towards your child. How much more your father love you? Why can't you bless him as we ought to? Why can't we give him that reverence? Why can't we come here in his presence and say, Abba, Father? Recognizing him, who he is to us. If we love him, if we don't love him here, how could we love him over there? You know what? If we can't love him here, we're not going to be over there. We have to love him in this flesh, that our spirit will grow stronger in him. People today is saying they come into church making preparation for their soul, thinking that their soul is going to be in paradise to have a good life. That is how we look at God today. An investment for our soul in the future. And what we do, we forget his love and we forget at how much we should love him. Because we are caught up in today's economy so much that we put aside so much for our retirement. So we look at our soul as a retirement period of time where we would have good times with the Lord. But are we loving him? Let me remind you and myself. We're not going to make heaven without loving him. I should hear amen all over this place. But amen. We're not going to make heaven without loving him. Because he plainly said, return unto your what? Your first love. Without love, could there be a bride? I ask you that question. You don't want to answer it? Answer it to yourself. Without love, could there be a bride? Without love, could there be a bridegroom? Our relationship with the Lord is a marriage relationship, not as husband and wife. Amen? But as bride and bridegroom. Amen? He cometh for his. He is the. If you don't love him, how you could be part of his kingdom? But we have an obligation to prove that love while we're here on earth. By our deeds. He said, if you see your brother naked and you tell him, go in peace, what good it is to him? It is of no use. Paul said, don't look after your things, but look after the things of your neighbor. That is because you love your neighbor. That his things are more important because of that love. So is it with God. The things of God, the things of yours is more important to God than anything in this world. There are so many things in the Bible that talk about how we could love him. All our answers that we want and all the victory that we need is in the praises that we give unto him. Check the Old Testament. The walls of Jericho, how did it fall? Come on, help me. How did it fall? By praise. Amen? The famine in the time of kings, it ended. Not that they went to war, not that, God take a few lepers to end a famine. He don't need an army, thousands of men. One guy he sent, David, to win a war for the Israelite. One guy. Because he loved his people. We ought to be faithful to him. We want him to be faithful to us, right? Come on, help me here. We want him to be faithful, right? We are not faithful. If he treat us the way we treat him, how would we feel? Answer yourself. We have the opportunity. We can do great things. Look, Christmas just passed by, right? Let me answer yourself this question. How many of you put aside recently a gift, a special gift, to give unto the Lord because you love Him, without your tithes and offering. Each and every one of us may have received a gift for Christmas. There was a joy in our heart. Each and every one of us who receive a gift on our birthday is happy. Yet we celebrate His birthday and we bring Him no gift. We bring Him nothing special. We never bring Him something special. The same thing you bring Him Sunday morning, the same thing you bring Him on Christmas, around the Christmas time. When did you dedicate something special to Him? When did you dedicate even your time and say, Father, this is my gift to you. For this time, I am dedicating this moment to listen to you, to give you praise, to give you honor. If you want to take it physically now, when was the last time you bring a special offering and offer it to Him? He's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. And in the Old Testament, He always tells the people, bring Him gifts. It's the law. Are we loving Him? Or are we saying we love Him? In order to love Him, we got to know Him. Amen? We got to believe what He say. And what's the first thing He tell us? What is the first thing when you make a relationship with someone as a friend or anything, and you love that person, and you want to prove yourself to that person, what's the first thing you would say to that person that would really have some depth? You say, trust me. Right? Right? If you want that person to believe exactly what you're saying, what do you say? Trust me. Right? Trust me. Trust me in this. The Lord said, trust in Him with all what? With all your heart. The same thing He said in Deuteronomy, that you must love Him with all your heart. Now in that same book He said, it is He who gave you strength to gain wealth. You didn't have the strength. It's He who gave it to you to gain wealth. Amen? It's about the eighth chapter, the 18th verse. Trust me on that. He said it is He who gave you strength to gain wealth. Now what you ought to do with this wealth? Now back a little lower back, Jacob had said, Jacob, I think this was the first time I see someone made a vow unto the Lord. And Jacob said unto the Lord, he said, Lord, if you take me, if you keep me safe and bring me back, I'm paraphrasing here, bring me back into my father's land safe, right? He said, I will give you 1/10 of what? Help me there. He said, I will give you 1/10 of all that I have? No. He said He will give him 1/10 of all that you give me. Amen? Not all that He have. Because we are nothing. Make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us what? Exalt His name how? Together. Rejoice and be glad. I sought the Lord and He what? He heard me. He got ears. And thank God He heard me because I cried out unto Him. And He delivered me from all my fears, my troubles, my sorrow. Because of Calvary, He bare that sorrow. Do we really know Him as a lover of our soul? Or we just know Him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in words? I ask you today, as you feel His presence, I know you can make a commitment to Him. rekindle that fire. Rekindle that love. Love dies. How many of you believe love is something that lives? It's alive. If you don't nourish it, it will die. Amen? I'm not criticizing anybody, but you think about all the divorce that happened. What happened there? Something died. Amen? The flame that was there, and they really call it a flame, it's no longer there. The Bible said that fire, let it be lit, let it be light. How Jeremiah described it? Wow! In his bones. Amen? It's not only on the outside, but it is on the inside. We got to rekindle that. Prayer and fasting is the first place you can start. The second place is obedient unto his word. Amen? The third place is doing what you ought to do. We ought to bring him gifts. We ought to treat him as a king. Amen? You know, what time it is? Pastor, just put up root 3:3 for me. There's so many verses that I can pull out of this book to show. You know, Deuteronomy 8, when you go home, read it. Read it for yourself. Amen? See what he's saying there. See how much he cares for you. Root 3, wash thyself therefore, and what? Ruth is talking to Naomi, and she's giving him an advice. She's giving her, sorry, not him, an advice. And she's saying unto him, to cleanse thyself, and anoint thyself, and put on thy raiment upon thee. Amen? And get down on the floor. And we can stop right here. Get down on the floor. Amen? You wash yourself in the water of baptism. He clothed you with a wedding garment, a new garment that you can enter into his house with. And where do you go? You go on your knees before him on the floor. And you don't get up. If you want to continue reading, I would say you don't get up until you feel in your heart that you please him. Amen? No amen. You don't get up until you feel it in your heart that you please him. That you show forth your love unto him. He didn't ask you to go to Calvary. He didn't ask you to empty your bank account like he told the rich ruler. But in that phrase, that when he told the rich ruler to sell all that he had and give to the poor, a lot of times we stop right there. What did he continue to saying? He continued by saying that, come and follow me. Take up thy cross and follow me, and thou shalt have what? Not giving your goods and your gifts, but following him. For my his burden is like, yes, the flesh would, to serve God, the flesh would resist. So it's a burden to the flesh. But he said that burden is not heavy. You can manage it. You can walk with it. For I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. I shall be with thee until the ends of thee. His love. Our first love. Amen. He gave us the drink. He, at that time in Israel, he said, give me a drink offering. Give me an oil offering for the lamb. Today, we should offer ourselves unto him by the spirit that he put in us. that light will keep on burning. The fuel of our lamp is the Holy Ghost in our life. We should entertain the Holy Ghost and not grieve the Holy Ghost in our life. And most of the time, that sometimes when we come to this altar and we feel a tugging in our heart and in ourselves, we know it's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is saying to lift your hands. The Holy Ghost is saying to cry out. Let's lift up your voice. Kneel. What do? We grieve Him. We resist. Do we do that? If I should ask you to show me your hands, I'm not going to embarrass you. How many times, who had ever felt that here and didn't do what they feel? And I personally would have to say I am one of them. Amen? Because I did it in the past when I didn't knew. I was a Christian. I know the Lord, but I didn't knew better. And I did it. And I had made a promise. Should I tell you? I think I would. I have made a promise that every time I come to His service, or not every time, but every Sunday that I come to the house of God to kneel at the altar. Because He is bigger than me. He is bigger than my problem, and He's bigger than all that I have. And He's bigger than all that I will gain in the next life. But how are you so sure you're going to gain that? Because I believe His word. Amen? I believe His word. His word said there is life for me. He said to believe in Him. His word said there is life over there. Amen? And I believe that. And I'm looking for that. I'm holding on to His words. And I hope that you join me in believing what He said. I hope that you also join me in giving Him praise and honor, glorifying Him, lifting Him up. There is nothing greater you can do than bless the Lord. Return to your first love. But when you return to your first love, you got some work to do also with it. And search the Word of God, and you will find the works that you have to do. Amen? And let us get together in one accord and do it. Let us not be ashamed of Him. He told John, when John sent his disciples unto Him, John prophesied of Him in the beginning. And when John was in the prison, the flesh take over, and John sent his disciple unto Him to say what? To say, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? Doubt. Because of situation. That's why he said, fear not. I have overcome this world. So he sent back answer to John. Go tell John what you see. Amen. And he also tell John that don't take offense in him. Don't be offended in him. Amen? I hope we understand without we loving Him, there is no heaven for us. I hope we can make a turn around and return to our first love.
I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. Bless me now. My Savior, I come to to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your Spirit move within me, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your Spirit move within me, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give myself to you. Let us pray. There's fullness of joy at His right hand. Pleasures
I really don't.